In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. It's so nice to be back here again after the whole month and a half, 2 months. 14 years ago, I was in my final year of seminary in New York City. I finished General Theological Seminary in May of 2005, and Berto and Hugh arrived that September. So I guess it's another one of those small church coincidences. As a senior, I was required to deliver a sermon at the seminary chapel. And mine was scheduled for early March, and these were the readings. So ever since, the Transfiguration has become special to me. And during my first trip to the Holy Land, I made sure that I would buy a copy of an icon of the Transfiguration. And for me, it was the perfect description of Jesus. And the imagery works not only in telling the Transfiguration story, but it ends the debate for me on whether Jesus was human or divine. For a long time, people decided he was either very human and just holy, or he was so holy and godlike that he couldn't do anything that humans would do. Let me describe the icon so that you get an idea of what I'm talking about. The top half of the icon is the sky. It's blue with some clouds. The pictures of Moses and Elijah are on either side of Jesus, who's in the center of the picture. The bottom half of the icon is a rugged, dark mountain, usually with a very, very sharp peak. All rocks and very few trees, very scraggly bushes. And behind those bushes are hiding James and John and Peter, really cowering. And there, with Jesus in the center on the mountain peak, has his toes just touching the peak of the mountain. Human and divine are together. He brings them into focus. So that's a 2,000-year-old story. So how is that relevant to us? Where are we supposed to be in that picture? We're the transformation that Jesus was going through, his transfiguration. Paul writes that through Jesus we see the glory of God, right in front of us, like a picture. But in this picture, Paul says, it's not just in Jesus, it's in the story, like the story of Moses. We become also the picture of glory through our faith. The story of Moses was again the messenger, and he wanted to hide the glory in his face because it was a distraction for his message. But Paul says we are the ones who get transformed. We become the glory. In our Eucharist, we say that we're part of Christ. In our prayers, we say that we are one in Christ. And if so, we must have somehow been transformed, transfigured, from mere mortals to something more divine and holy. We are now the shining glory. There's a lot of responsibility that seems to come from that talk, from that statement. But luckily, we don't have to be exactly like Jesus, just like we can never be exactly like any of the heroes in our life. We just have to be doing the best we can with our own transformation. Thinking about all of this, it should be no surprise that we read this story just before the beginning of Lent. On Ash Wednesday, we'll be charged with looking inwardly to see where we can take on a discipline of denial or an act of piety, so that by Easter, we can share the resurrection as new people, transformed. Epiphany is the season of light that comes in the middle of a dark winter. Lent becomes a season of contemplation of our earthly pilgrimage. As if we had enough time off to do that contemplation. Just as the earth warms up and we've got to start planting and do all our normal routines and getting ready for Easter, we're supposed to stop, slow down, and contemplate what's our inner soul like. On Wednesday, we even get a mixed message. of practicing prayer and worship and charity and mourning without fanfare, within ourselves, not for show. All the while, we receive ashes right in the middle of our forehead where nobody can miss them. Those ashes, why? When we're supposed to be so private about our piety and discipline. They tell the world that we are preparing to share in Jesus' retreat from the wilderness before his ministry. The ashes are saying that earthly things will die. We will work out our transformation inwardly and spiritually, and that is forever. If we stay away from sweets or some other habit, we just say no when summer passed to us without making a big deal of it. If we decide to give up our cigarette or sweets allowance for charity, we do it quietly. We'll know, and God will know. That's where the glory and the radiating of God's light comes in. We'll be seen doing what we need to. Moses needed to cover his face somehow, but we're not supposed to let that light hide under a bushel. We are supposed to radiate God's glory and God's inner peace. How does that transformation look for each one of us? Quite differently. And it's not going to all happen in the 5 weeks of Lent. It's a different process for each of us. Could be easy, can be very difficult, can be fast, can be slow, and only God will know how long it takes and what it will take for us to transform. If it comes to us in seconds, the following through can be just as long as it does for those who watch the water drip, drip from a faucet. It's a little bit of both for most of us. But what we have to realize is that transformation is never complete. Our transformation will take place over our entire life journey. Everything that happens to us and changes it. We react to good and to bad. Our relationships come and go. And some things we can control, and other things we can't. But one thing is constant, besides change: God. And that's all that matters. It allows us to change, transform, without fear. We put our toes, our earthly bodies, on the mountaintop of the Transfiguration with Peter and James and John, and with them, we learn that Jesus is truly God's Son. We also place our spiritual souls in that same icon, in heaven with Moses and Elijah. Through prayer, we can talk with God just as they did. Our whole being is in the center of the icon with Jesus, who straddles both heaven and earth, and shows us that transforming is what happens when we believe in Jesus and become one with him and follow his footsteps. With Lent only 3 days away, we celebrate right now with Carnival in Rio, Mardi Gras in New Orleans. On Lopez, we're having a pancake supper, the last of our old lives. Then on Ash Wednesday, we begin our transformation so that we can go from seeing glory to being glory, from seeing it in the shining faces of others to lighting our own face on fire. It means taking Jesus' ministry seriously by helping those who are helpless, defending, feeding, caring, and welcoming anyone who was created by God. We need to transform into people who can do those things, or we need to be transforming into someone who can support the missions of those who can do those things. We need to transform. This is the beginning of another new year, new life, new way of following Jesus. And through it, we will be both divine and human, as Jesus was both. Amen.
Stand as you are able.